Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the book of Zechariah. Though written more than 500 years before Jesus, this powerful little book has much to say about today's headlines, as well as deep insight into the Lord's work and ministry in the lives of believers right now. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
For the first time in 19 centuries, the Kohenim pronounced a priestly blessing on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. You need to know how exciting this is. You need to understand that what people used to look forward to, watch out when Israel becomes a nation again, been there, done that, 1948. Watch out when they get Jerusalem back, 1967. The Antichrist is going to tell the Jews, rebuild your temple, continue your temple oblations. They're already working on it. Next slide. There's the completed wood overlaid with gold, table of showbread. Next slide. Already finished, completed. There is the altar of incense, completed and ready to go. Next. This is the lavert, interestingly enough. Instead of an open body of water, they've closed it up and then they have spouts or spigots. It's ready to go. It has been blessed. It has been consecrated. It is ready to be used by the priests. Next slide. This is a little silver goblet. How many of you remember in 2 Timothy when Paul says, I am being poured out like a drink offering? Do you remember that? Wine was poured into this decanter, and then at the end of the morning sacrifice and at the end of the evening sacrifice, the last thing of all was that wine was poured upon the hot coals of the brazen altar. And that's the instrument that they will use when it happens again. Next. Now, this is a wonderful artist's rendition of the priestly garments, and God was very specific on what colors, what materials, what kind of fabrics could be used. And isn't that a wonderful artist's rendition? Hit the go button. They've completed it, and it is done. Next slide, we're going to zoom in on the breastplate. Those are actual jewels that are stipulated in the book of Exodus, and inscribed upon them are each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Notice the only colors you will see are white, blue, purple, and red. Next slide. Rosh Hashanah, there are the trumpets, completed and consecrated. Next slide. The horn with the golden horn that calls the people to... Oh, I'm going to stop or I'm going to talk forever. It's done. It's completed. Of the 90 articles that the rabbis say are necessary to begin temple oblations, almost all of them have been recreated, are in existence, have been consecrated, are ready. They're waiting for one thing. The political green light... to go. They have the rabbinical priests trained, all the garments made. Did you know that the Sanhedrin is back in existence? 3 summers ago, August, in Tiberias, near the city of Galilee, there was a commissioning service that the 70 of the Sanhedrin have been recommissioned. The Sanhedrin is back in the land. All the articles of the temple are ready. There is only one thing missing. Somebody to stand up and pull off the peace treaty between the Palestinians and the Jews. You guys were that close. Verse 2, and he said to me, what do you see? And I said, I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold. That's the menorah. But this one has a bowl on top of it, and on the stand 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. Verse 3. 2 olive trees are by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. And so I answered and spoke to the angel who talked to me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no. He answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Remember, he's the king of the people. 16 years he has not been doing his job. But God says, that doesn't bother me because I don't care about what you've been doing. I care about what you want to do and will do from this day forward. So you tell something to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. In his own strength, Zerubbabel, bless his heart, did the best he could. He ran into one too many obstacles, and the work has ceased. God is saying to Zerubbabel, now it's my turn. Verse 7, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become like a plain. You're going to wipe the mountains out. And he, or Zerubbabel, shall bring forth the capstone. He's going to finish the work that he started. And when he's done, look at this, with shouts of grace, grace to it. He's going to get the work done, and it's going to be so miraculous that when he's done, all the people are going to know, man, was that a God thing. Verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. He did. He got started 16 years ago. And his hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the days of small beginnings? What an encouragement that is to all of us. God is moving in your heart. He is moving in your life. And some of us have gotten so tired and weary and beaten up or beaten down that we said, I can't go on. And God says, that's all right. Because it's not by might, and it's not by power, and it's not by bank account, and it's not by who you know. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. And don't despise the small beginnings. This doesn't look like anything that I know you've called me to do. I know, says the Lord. But before you get here, you've got to be excellent right here. If you can be excellent right now, right where you have been called, then I say, well done. I'm going to entrust you with the next step. Who has despised the day of small beginning? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line, that's the builder's instrument, the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. What are the seven things, Lord? They are the seven eyes of the Lord. Seven eyes of the Lord is a model for God sees everything, which scan to and fro throughout the whole world. Verse 11. Then I answered and said to him, well, what are these two olive trees on the right of the lampstand and to its left? Now watch this. Interesting detail. Verse 12. And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Zechariah was familiar with the typical menorah. Who filled the menorah with the oil? The priests had to. It was part of their job. They had to physically maintain it. This menorah is different. There are two olive trees with pipes coming out that drain directly into that bowl or reservoir that feeds all the seven branches of the candlestick. This is what you call automatic oil overflow. And Zechariah would have been sensitive. He's basically saying, hey, we don't have to physically work at keeping the light of the menorah, the symbol of Israel, alive. And God says, now you're getting it. In your human instrumentation, you can blow things up. But when I take control of it, and what this picture is here is, I'm going to take the human agency out of pulling off not only the building of Jerusalem, but in this one, the lamp of Israel. which is the Jews, which is Israel itself. Verse 13, then he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? Now he's pointing to the two trees. And I said, no, my Lord. So he said, these are the two anointed ones. They are anointed with what? Olive oil. How do you say press in Aramaic? You say gath. How do you say olives? Semeni. Gath semeni is olive press. And where did our Lord sweat, as it were, great drops of blood? On the oil press. Because you see, when you squeeze our Messiah, what comes out? The oil of anointing. What a picture. Do you not know what these are? I said, no, my Lord. So he said, verse 14, these are the two anointed ones. Now watch this. Who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. This is very important. Is Jesus Christ Lord? What's the answer? Absolutely. Has he chosen to extend his rule and reign over all of planet earth as of yet? Not yet. He will win in the millennial reign of Christ. These two people, or these two are standing next to that Lord who, seeing into the future, is the Lord of the whole earth. And here again, and we'll end here, join me in Revelation chapter 1. I love the Bible. It's its own best explainer. Chapter 1, quickly. If you've ever cruised through the book of Revelation and said, man, this is hard, it's because it's using idioms and metaphors and models that assume you know your Old Testament. All of the idioms and models used and employed in the book of Revelation is somewhere else explained. Let's go to verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you, peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And then he sees Jesus show up. Let's look down to verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. Having turned, I saw seven golden what, everybody? Seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, who was the one human individual who was responsible for the lampstand? It was the high priest, right? Who is our high priest right now? So he sees him. This is a very Jewish model here. I see somebody standing in the midst of seven lampstands, or the menorah. Now join me in verse 20 of chapter 1. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels, or messengers, really, of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are what, everyone? The seven churches that you will read then in subsequent order, chapters 2 and 3. They are real churches that really existed. And, turns out, they are seven depictions of epochs of time, seven histories that the church of Jesus Christ will go through. In the temple of the Lord, the tabernacle of the Lord, that the seven-branched lampstand is the light of the world. It lit that room. But do you know who it stands for prophetically? It stands for whom, everybody? The church! What is Zechariah chapter 4 saying over all? Two things. In the near fulfillment, Zechariah tells Zerubbabel and Josiah, God is going to move. The lamp of the nations, Israel, will be lit again. The far fulfillment is when Israel as a nation rejects the Messiah, their lamp goes out. God turns his attention prophetically to whom? The next lamp of the world. Who is that? The church. What about these two fellows in the olive trees? I'm glad you asked. We'll end here. Revelation chapter 11, as I said, the Bible is always its own best explainer. When God takes the Holy Spirit out of the world, like 2 Thessalonians says, it's the Holy Spirit that is now restraining the advent or the revealing of the Antichrist. and will do so until the Holy Spirit is taken out. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. That's when he makes the covenant with Israel. If the Holy Spirit is taken out, Jesus said when he gave the Holy Spirit, he would never leave us nor forsake us. If he's going to take the Holy Spirit out, who does he have to take with him? The church. The church comes out, so that means that there's no Holy Spirit on the planet? No. The Holy Spirit now goes back to an Old Testament methodology of being poured out on one or a couple of people, the prophets at a time. You had prophets right up until Jesus and the church. Now we don't need prophets, we have God's word. When the church comes out, God is going to return again to an Old Testament economy of pouring his spirit out on one or two individuals. Would you like to see two of them? Here's what happens. Chapter 11, verse 3. And I will give power to my what? Two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. That is a very Old Testament situation. When you broke the law and you wanted to mourn, you wore what? Sackcloth. They didn't break the law. You know who's breaking the law? The nation of Israel is breaking the law. Why? They think that the Antichrist, who politically pulled off the peace treaty, they think that he is whom? Their Messiah. They build a temple, all right, but it is apostate and not godly. And God never leaves the planet without a witness. The church leaves. Antichrist comes to the fore. He pulls off his peace treaty. Click, the 70th week of Daniel begins. It's going to be 1,260 days that these guys show up. And what are they doing? When they're cutting the ribbon on this glorious new third temple in Jerusalem, guess who starts suddenly showing up and proclaiming and prophesying against it? These two fellas. Well, who are they? It's not Obama and Joe Biden. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 3.5 years. And these two are the what, everybody? The two what? Say it. Olive trees, right in your margin. Zechariah 4, verses 3-6. Do you see how the Bible is its own best explainer? These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. They are supernaturally protected. Look at our brand new temple. And they got their brand new clothes and priestly garments. Look at us. We're doing the temple oblations. Woohoo! And suddenly two prophets show up. No, it's not. You don't need a tabernacle. The tabernacle of God has come and already tabernacled with us. His name is Yeshua. Every time the Jews go to do their temple oblations, here are these two guys yelling, "You don't need the blood of rams anymore. Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes it." Would that get a little old for these priests and so on? Well, go get them. So they try. And when they rush them, fire comes out of their mouths and devours their enemies. Verse 6. And these have power to shut the heavens so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. You mean 3.5 years, no rain falls in Jerusalem? That's right. Hey, do you remember that happened once before under King Ahab? Who was that prophet? It was Elijah. How did Elijah die? He didn't. He was taken up in a chariot, and he's been in the green room of the book of Revelation ever since. And they have the power over waters to turn them into what? Hey, who did that? Moses did. By the way, who shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration that freaks out Peter? Moses. What is Moses synonymous with? The law. And Elijah, who is synonymous with what? The prophets. The law and the prophets are saying Messiah is Jesus Christ. You think that was an accident? No, it wasn't. It's my personal opinion that at that point, God did something with the time-space continuum, and he let Peter, James, and John actually see Jesus in the future. And who's standing by him? Two olive trees. They have the power to shut up the heavens so that no rain falls. They have power over the waters to turn them to blood, to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. And when they finish their testimony, the beast, who is that? That's the Antichrist, that ascends out of the bottomless pit, that's one of our clues, will make war against them. And after 3.5 years, he will overcome them and kill them. Verse 8, and their bodies will lie in the street of Jerusalem, of the great city which spiritually is so apostate that it is called Sodom and Egypt. There are Old Testament references for this, by the way. But just to make sure that we're not missing it, it's not Ely, Nevada. Look, it's where also our Lord was crucified. What city is that, everybody? Then those from the peoples, tribes, and tongues and nations. What is people, tribes, tongues, and nations? This is wordage for how many people? All the people of the earth will see their dead bodies. This is a technology statement here.
Yes, it is.
This is satellite telecommunications and your smartphone. Their dead bodies to be put in the graves, and in those, we ran out of time on this one. They give gifts, and that's not a satanic Christmas. The Bible is always its best explainer. Where is the only place in the Bible where the people of Israel exchange gifts? It's in the book of Esther. It's the celebration of Purim, which on some occasion is exactly 1260 days from Rosh Hashanah. Oh, man. Let's all stand together, shall we? I hope this stuff excites you. It sure does me. Lord Jesus, thank you again for the relevancy of the book of Zechariah chapter 4. And there it was. It's lampstands. Zechariah was familiar with that. But here's the key. God will complete in you what he has started. It's true of Israel and will be true of Israel. It will certainly be true of Zerubbabel and Joshua. History proves that out. It is absolutely true with every child of God in this room today. The enemy and your own stuff wants you to quit and to give up and to blow out. God says you have that option. You have a free will. But please hear the heart of the Lord this morning. If you stay, word, worship, prayer, and fellowship, it is the promise of God. It is the principle of Israel, and it has been proven time and time again. God says to you, loved one, I will finish this great work. Don't give up. Get back up and go back in. Lord, I know we've been talking a while. In the quietness of this moment, Holy Spirit, come and move on the hearts of every person listening, Lord. And I know, Holy Spirit, that you're moving in the hearts of many. Right now, God is revealing to you, reminding you what he has told you, what he has shared with you. Some of you, it's been 30 plus years. Please hear his tender heart today. My son, let's get back to it. My daughter, I know what you've been through, but you can make it. Holy Spirit, do your great work and pour your oil of anointing all over these lampstands of God. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Are you ready to do it again? Only this time, let go of the steering wheel and let me bring you along. And it will happen. Amen, you guys. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Zechariah with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.